anecdotes and fictional stories dealing chiefly with clergymen, dealing with pastors. And in his introduction to this anthology, Chapman writes, "If readers learn a little more from these pages about their clergy, that will be good. If they find enjoyment and come back to revisit new friends, admire patterns of behavior, or remind themselves of some horrid warnings, that will be even better. What we have, in fact, is a very motley collection of human beings sharing a common role and a common status. Here are the saintly and the venial, the pious and the worldly, some noisy, some reserved, some admirable, and some a little absurd." And isn't that the truth? Those who have given themselves to the ministry, whether in the Old Testament times or New Testament times, are a mixed bag. You have some who are godly and righteous, and some, unfortunately, who have shown themselves to be peevish and perverse. Some are saintly, some are worldly, some are pious, and some are not. In Old Testament times, the priesthood and those who served in the sanctuary all came from the tribe of Levi. And that is the tribe to which the chronicler directs our attention this evening in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, as we look at that chapter. And as we will see, as we look at the names that are listed there, this truly is a mixed bag of individuals. Some men of the tribe of Levi were very godly, and some were not. But with even all of their faults, this tribe was central in the plan of God for his people. So let's look at the text, 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And so we read there, starting in chapter 6, verse 1, these words. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar became the father of Phinehas, and Phinehas became the father of Abishua, and Abishua became the father of Buki, and Buki became the father of Uzi, and Uzi became the father of Zerahiah. Zerahiah became the father of Marioth. Marioth became the father of Amariah. Amariah became the father of Ahitub. Ahitub became the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz became the father of Azariah. And Azariah became the father of Johanan. And Johanan became the father of Azariah. It was he who served as the priest in the house which Solomon built in Jerusalem. And Azariah became the father of Amariah. And Amariah became the father of Ahitub. And Ahitub became the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Shalom. Shalom became the father of Hilkiah. Hilkiah became the father of Azariah, and Azariah became the father of Seraiah. Seraiah became the father of Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went along when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem away into exile by Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi are Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershom, Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The sons of Merari were Mali and Mushi. And these are the families of the Levites, according to their fathers' households. Of Gershom, Libni, his son, Jahath, his son, Zimmah, his son, Joah, his son, Iddo, his son, Zerah, his son, Jethurai, his son. The sons of Kohath were Aminadab, his son, Korah, his son, Asir, his son, Elkanah, his son, Ebiasaph, his son, Asir, his son, Tahath, his son, Uriel, his son, Uzziah, his son, and Shaul, his son. The sons of Elkanah were Amasai and Ahimoth. As for Elkanah, the sons of Elkanah were Zophai, his son, and Nahath, his son, Eliab, his son, Jeroham, his son, Elkanah, his son. The sons of Samuel were Joel, the firstborn, and Abijah, the second. The sons of Merari were Mali, Libni, his son, Shimei, his son, Uzza, his son, Shimeah, his son, Haggiah, his son, and Asaiah, his son. Now these are those whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. They ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. These are those who served with their sons, From the sons of the Kohathites were Heman, the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah, the son of Matha, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tahath, the son of Asir, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. Heman's brother, Asaph, stood at his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berechiah, the son of Shimeah, the son of Michael, the son of Baasiah, the son of Malkijah, the son of Ethni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimah, the son of Shimei, the son of Jahath, the son of Gershom, the son of Levi. On the left hand were their kinsmen, the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Kishi, the son of Abdi, the son of Malak, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Amzi, the son of Bani, the son of Shemer, the son of Mali, the son of Mushi, the son of Merari, the son of Levi. Their kinsmen, the Levites, were appointed for the service of the tabernacle of the house of God. But Aaron and his sons offered on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. These are the sons of Aaron: Eleazar, his son, Phinehas, his son, Abishua, his son, Buki, his son, Uzi, his son, Zerahiah, his son, Ahitub, his son, Zadok, his son, Ahimaaz, his son. Now these are their settlements, according to their camps within their borders, to the sons of Aaron of the families of the Kohathites, for theirs was the first lot. To them they gave Hebron in the land of Judah, and its pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. To the sons of Aaron they gave the following cities of refuge: Hebron, Libna with its pasture lands, Jatir, Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, Hillan with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ashen with its pasture lands, Beth-Shemesh with its pasture lands, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Geba with its pasture lands, Alameth with its pasture lands, and Anathoth with its pasture lands. All their cities throughout their families were 13 cities. To the rest of the sons of Kohath were given by lot from the family of the tribe, from the half tribe, the half of Manasseh, 10 cities. To the sons of Gershom, according to their families, were given from the tribe of Issachar and from the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali, and the tribe of Manasseh, 13 cities in Bashan. To the sons of Merari were given by lot, according to their families, from the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. So the sons of Israel gave the Levites the cities with their pasture lands. They gave by lot from the tribe of the sons of Judah, the tribe of the sons of Simeon, and the tribe of the sons of Benjamin, these cities which are mentioned by name. Now some of the families of the sons of Kohath had cities of their territory from the tribe of Ephraim. They gave to them the following cities of refuge: Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim with its pasture lands, Gezer also with its pasture lands, Jokmeam with its pasture lands, Beth Horon with its pasture lands, Ajalon with its pasture lands, and Gath Ramon with its pasture lands, and from the half tribe of Manasseh, Aner with its pasture lands, and Bileam with its pasture lands, for the rest of the family of the sons of Kohath. To the sons of Gershom were given from the family of the half tribe of Manasseh, Golan and Bashan with its pasture lands, and Ashtaroth with its pasture lands, and from the tribe of Issachar, Kedesh with its pasture lands, Dabaroth with its pasture lands, and Ramoth with its pasture lands, Anam with its pasture lands, and from the tribe of Asher, Mashal with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Hukok with its pasture lands, and Rehob with its pasture lands, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with its pasture lands, Hamon with its pasture lands, and Kiriathaim with its pasture lands. To the rest of the Levites, the sons of Merari, were given from the tribe of Zebulun, Ramono with its pasture lands, Tabor with its pasture lands, and beyond the Jordan at Jericho on the east side of the Jordan were given them from the tribe of Reuben, Bezer in the wilderness with its pasture lands, Jazza with its pasture lands, Kedemath with its pasture lands, and Mephath with its pasture lands, and from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth and Gilead with its pasture lands, Mahanaim with its pasture lands, Heshbon with its pasture lands, and Jazer with its pasture lands. So the chapter before us deals with, as we've seen, the genealogy of the tribe of Levi. And the genealogy, as with all of the genealogies in Chronicles, is not exhaustive. But one thing that is worth noting about this genealogy is that more information is given to us by the chronicler in this section of genealogies. More information is given to us about the tribe of Levi than about any other tribe, with the exception of the tribe of Judah. Benjamin would be a close third, but I think there's something significant here. And also, the chronicler has placed the genealogy of Levi roughly in the center of the tribes as he's giving the family records. It's tribe of Levi comes roughly in the center. And I think these two things should emphasize to us that the tribe of Levi is very important to the chronicler. And you can understand why. The tribe of Levi was the tribe of Aaron, and thus the tribe from which the priests came. The Levites who were not descended from Aaron were workers in the tabernacle and in the temple. So this is an important tribe, very central in God's plan for his people. The record begins by working down the family tree of Levi pretty quickly to get to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, siblings. And from the mention of the sons of Aaron in verse 3 down through verse 15, we have a line of priests stretching from the time of the Exodus with Aaron down to exile. We get to Jehozadak there in verse 15. He is the priest who was carried into exile at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And again, this list is not exhaustive, but you may see certain names in this list from verse 3 down to verse 15, certain names that you recognize. And so there's the mention of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who offered the strange fire before the Lord and were destroyed because of it. You also see Zadok mentioned in verse 8. If you think back to the histories of the time of King David, Zadok was the high priest who stood with David during his reign. Ahimaaz, mentioned just after Zadok, the son of Zadok, was part of the spy network that King David set up when he fled from Absalom. You can read about that in 2 Samuel 15 and 2 Samuel chapter 17. Hilkiah, mentioned in verse 13, was the high priest during the days of King Josiah, during the days of a national revival. And Jehozadak there in verse 15 is mentioned several times in the book of Haggai because he is the father of Joshua, the high priest who had returned from exile. So we've seen this name Jehozadak several times here in our studies in the book of Haggai. Verse 16 then jumps back to Levi, mentions the three sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. Verses 17 through 21 contains some shorter genealogies springing from those three sons. And then starting in verse 22, we have a list starting with Kohath, one of the sons of Levi, and stretches down to Samuel. You get to verse 28, you find Samuel there, and then some of the descendants of Samuel are sketched out in the few verses following till you get down to verse 30. Verses 31 and following turn our attention to those who ministered in the house of the Lord as appointed by David. Verse 33 directs our attention to Heman, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, and then the subsequent verses trace his lineage back to Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. So we have Heman, who serves in the time of David, and his lineage is traced back up to Levi, and you get there, Levi, the son of Israel, in verse 38. And then, starting in verse 39, you have Asaph, another one of the leaders in the temple worship who served at the time of David. And then his lineage is traced back to Gershom, the son of Levi, in verses 39 through 43. Verse 44 mentions another prominent Levite in the temple worship named Ethan. And his lineage is traced in verses 44 through 47 back to Merari, son of Levi. And so, in short, in verses 31 through 47, you have the lineage of three of these leaders in the temple worship. You have Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, and their lineage is traced back to the three sons of Levi, all three sons of Levi. Heman traces his lineage through Kohath, back to Levi, Asaph through Gershom, back to Levi, and Ethan through Merari, back to Levi. And so all three sons of Levi have descendants who were leaders in the temple worship at the time of David. Verse 48 gives us a summary about the Levites serving in the house of the Lord. And then verses 49 through 53 turn our attention to the work of the priests and traces the lineage down to Ahimaaz, this fellow who had served at the time of King David. And then verses 54 through 81 give us the details of the towns and settlements and pasture lands that were allotted to the Levites from the different tribes of Israel. And this information is very similar to what is recorded in Joshua chapter 21. And you may recall that the tribe of Levi did not receive a distinct chunk of the promised land that was to be theirs in the way that the other tribes did. The cause of this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 34, when Levi and his brother Simeon avenged the disgrace of their sister Dinah upon the inhabitants of the city where Hamor and Shechem lived. And thus, when Jacob was old and made a prophecy about his sons, in Genesis 49, he says this of Simeon and Levi, in Genesis 49, 5 through 7, he says, "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel." And so this is the ultimate root cause of this scattering of the tribe of Levi. The scattering was, in one sense, a curse upon the tribe of Levi, but it was used by God to bless the nation as a whole, because the priests and the Levites now would be dispersed among the tribes. According to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 9, the Lord himself was to be the inheritance of the tribe of Levi. Ideally, they would have been an influence for good, spread throughout all the tribes of Israel, in theory at least, because they should have been familiar with the ways of God and the word of God by virtue of the priesthood and their temple service. Many times, however, unfortunately, it did not turn out that way. If you think back to the book of Judges, chapter 17 and 18, we have that history, the very odd history of the idolatry of Micah. There's this man named Micah who makes some idols, and then he convinces a young Levite to come serve as his priest. He knows that the priests are supposed to come from the tribe of Levites, and so even though he is engaged in idolatry, he thinks, let me get a Levite to be my priest. And he goes so far as to remark, as recorded in Judges 17:13, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as a priest." In other words, idolatry doesn't matter. What matters is the fact that I've got a Levite to be my priest. And then in the next chapter, a group of raiders from the tribe of Dan come and steal these idols of Micah, and they convince this Levite to come along and be a priest to them. They say, "Hey, it's better for you to be a priest to a whole tribe than just to one random guy." And so this young Levite goes and serves with the Danites. And at the end of Judges 18, we're told that there was a line of these Levite priests who served the idolatrous tribe of Dan up until the time of the captivity of the land, right up until the time of the exile. And so, in short, looking at the chapter here, the main lists that we have in 1 Chronicles 6 are the genealogy of the priesthood, the genealogy of Samuel and his descendants, and the genealogies of three prominent leaders in the service of the temple: Heman, Asaph, and Ethan. And then we have the list of the towns where the Levites settled. That is the chapter in brief. And so what should we glean from this? What should we take away from it, practically speaking? Well, I'll draw out two things. For one, notice the importance of the ministry of the priests. We see something of this in verse 49, where we were told, "But Aaron and his sons offered on the altar a burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, servant of God, had commanded." The nation of Israel knew that they had a problem in their relationship with God. They knew that they were sinners, and they knew that something needed to be done about it. And for the time being, this is what God had prescribed: a priesthood comprised of the descendants of Aaron and animal sacrifices. But even though they were prescribed by God, there was something that was lacking in these sacrifices. And the book of Hebrews describes this for us in Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. "For the law since it was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. This was the system that God had instituted, but it was temporary. There was something lacking in the system. It was only a shadow of the good things yet to come. And secondly, notice again the motley nature of the individuals listed in this chapter. Again, they are a very mixed bag. Some are very godly and righteous. Some are peevish and perverse. Some of the men here have a sterling reputation. Men like Samuel, who led Israel to follow the Lord and served as the connecting link between the time of the judges and the time of the monarchy in the nation of Israel. We have here a man like Zadok, who stood by King David, and this is the king who anointed Solomon. There was one priest who kind of rebelled and went with the other one of David's sons who was seeking to usurp the throne, but Zadok stuck with David and anointed Solomon, godly priest. And we also have this fellow Ahimaaz, who, as we've mentioned, was essentially a spy for King David and a messenger, risked his life, hid down in a well when the men of Absalom were coming after him. And so you can read about that in 2 Samuel 17. And we have here worship leaders like Heman, Asaph, and Ethan. These men are authors of Psalms. Asaph is the author of Psalm 73 through 83. Heman, the author of Psalm 88. Ethan, the author of Psalm 89. We've got good and godly men here. But on the other hand, we have some other men with a very checkered history, don't we? We have Levi himself, the father of the tribe, who is a violent man, who took vengeance into his own hands. We have Aaron, the brother of Moses, the first priest of this line of priests, and yet he set up golden calves for the nation to worship while Moses was on Mount Sinai with God. We have Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, who were not careful to worship God as he had commanded. We have the sons of Samuel, Joel the firstborn and Abijah the second, who show up in verse 28. And we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 3, that these men did not walk in their father's ways, but they turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Not only was there something lacking in the sacrificial system, there was also something lacking in the tribe of Levi and in the priesthood itself. And isn't it wonderful how both of these deficiencies are fixed in our Lord Jesus Christ? We needed a better sacrifice than bulls and goats that the priests would offer, and we needed a priest who was better than any of the sons of Aaron ever were. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, combines both of these things in himself. Again, the book of Hebrews is very helpful on this point, and so we read, this is Hebrews 7:23 through 8, verse 1, the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers, right? We've read about their numbers right here. Existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all when he offered up himself. He's both the priest and the sacrifice. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son, made perfect forever. And then this is 8 verse 1. Now the main point in what we have in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And so in light of that, allow this genealogy of the tribe of Levi here in 1 Chronicles 6 to point you ahead to Jesus. Of course, we know Jesus is not from the tribe of Levi. He is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. But we need to understand that Jesus is the only great high priest who can save forever, because he alone is the great sacrifice that can make atonement for our sins and give us peace with God. He alone is the great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for his people. And as this genealogy points us ahead to Jesus and how he fixes all of the deficiencies and the problems in the Levitical priesthood, the appropriate response should be greater love toward him because of his great love toward you. Greater trust in him because of the sufficiency of his sacrifice for you and the sufficiency of his continuing priesthood on your behalf. The appropriate response should be greater zeal for his kingdom and greater zeal for the lost because of the greatness of this salvation that he has given to you all by grace alone. And so may God grant us those things this week: greater love, greater trust, and greater zeal. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you even for a genealogy like 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and how it directs our minds to the Old Testament history, to the godly and the ungodly in this line. And Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us a priest who is better than any man in this list. We thank you that you have provided for us in Christ a greater sacrifice than any of the sacrifices ever offered by the Levitical priests. We praise you for Christ, and we pray that you would give us great love, great trust, and great zeal for him. We ask this in his name and for his glory. Amen.